Welcome to my Blog Talk radio show, Live Your Music. I'm your host, Margot Joy Nader, and I'm a creative life balance coach, singer, songwriter, and the author of a book titled The Art of Living a Life You Love. I am happy and excited to have Allison Fotiborc as my guest for Live Your Music today. Join us for a conversation about her award-winning series of Alley Cat books and how her books can inspire people of all ages to live their music and enjoy their life. Hello, Allison. Are you there?
I'm here. Thank you for having me.
You are welcome. I am so glad Jonathan suggested that we connect and connected us. And I absolutely love your Alley Cat and the Friendship Friday book that you sent me. And I am so excited to talk about your series and also sometime soon to see the rest of the books as well. But, you know, thank you. Thank you for doing these books. They're so cool.
Oh, thank you. I'm smiling ear to ear. I'm so thrilled.
Well, you know, I like to tell people when I think things are really good. There was a teacher I had back in my early 20s that said that you get plenty of cold pricklies in life as it is. So go around trying to give as many warm fuzzies as you can. And so whenever I appreciate someone and what they do, I like to tell them. And I really appreciate what you're doing with these books. And I'm so curious to hear more about the series and also to hear how you got started in writing these and how did you get started? Also, you did a news hosting for children's literature, and where do you want to start? I want to hear about it all.
I guess I can start from the beginning. So it's been such a journey. I call it a journey because it's not something that I planned out, and things just happened as soon as I kind of just let go of planning everything. So I graduated from University of Louisiana at Lafayette in elementary education, and I always wanted to go to law school, and so I got my degree in education, and then I went off to law school. I did teach first grade for a year before going to law school, and I ended up graduating from law school and practicing law for almost 7 years as the assistant attorney general for the state of Louisiana. And I liked my job. But it was a job for me. It was something that I put effort into, and I gave it my all, and I loved to write. So I figured, you know what, this is where my path is. Well, I have two young kids at the time, when I was about 6 years in, and they were probably about, I guess, around 7, 8 years old in that kind of age range, and they were just growing up so fast, and I just wanted to spend more time with them. So I got with my husband and I said, you know, I just want to just take a year off and kind of a little temporary retirement, spend some time at home with them and while they're young and do things with them, read them, take them to the park. And so I did that. I stopped practicing, and I always said I would go back to practicing. And every night we read stories to our children before bed, and they have a ton of books in their bookshelf, and we had read every single one of them. And so they said, Mom, Dad, we need more books for our bookshelf. And that's such a great thing to hear, that they want more stories. But, you know, I had just stopped working, and I said, you know what, I'll just write you a story. And they looked at me with these big eyes, and then they started smiling, and they started jumping in the bed and just cheering me on. And that was kind of my aha moment, where I knew that was where my path needed to go. Even though they were just 6, 7 years old, it's like they knew, like, this is where we're supposed to be heading. So I went down, we tucked them in, and I went downstairs and started writing, and that's when the Alley Cat series was born. I've always had a vivid imagination, and I remember a lot of my childhood, and I listen a lot to my children and what goes on in their own experiences. And so I just started writing, and the next night I had the manuscript written, and I read it to them, and they were just listening and engaged in the story, and I just knew at that point this is something very exciting. And I sent out a manuscript to about 100 different publishers and agents, and finally I got one yes after nearly 88 rejections. Some of them didn't even respond. And when I got that one yes, I just knew this is it. This is a path I'm going to take. And it's been about 4 years now. I've written 4 Alley Cat books and about to release the 4th one in March. And I haven't gone back to practicing law yet. I still keep up my license, but this is just so rewarding and so much fun.
Oh, wow. What a great story. I just love that. And, you know, that's another example of people giving up when, oh, I got a rejection. I got one rejection or two rejections or even 10 or whatever. Oh, my God, this wasn't meant for me to do, you know. And, I mean, there's so many. Yeah, I mean, if you really look at people who have become successful at what they do, and they get rejections. It's just that, you know, they keep going. That's the difference. And so, you know, even just your story of how you got the series started is really inspiring and a good reminder that listening to your heart, you know, there's going to be somebody out there. I remember Jack Canfield saying, it was like SW, I can't remember how many SWs there were, but some will, some won't. So what? Someone's waiting.
Oh,
and, you know, and so someone is waiting for you to send that to them. Yeah.
You just have to work hard. You know, I do a lot of presentations at schools, and I enjoy it so much. It's funny because it resembles when I would go into a courtroom and try a case, where you're nervous and you're, you know, trying to promote what's right.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just a very different feeling when you're talking to kids and you're trying to inspire them to be their best self. And, you know, when they ask me for advice and what I do or what I believe, I just tell them, just work hard and just keep trying. And you may not win at all of it. You may not succeed the first time. You may not succeed after a few years, but just keep trying and keep trying to open those doors. Even if you have to do something different, just work hard.
Mhm. Yeah, and not give up. I mean, you know, that's obviously one of the big ones. One of the things I'm curious about is what ages are the books actually designed for originally?
They were originally designed for ages 3 to 8. And
3 to 8.
Uh-huh. There are some bigger words that I use in this story. And sometimes libraries will designate it as an early reader, which is a higher level than a picture book. But having a degree in education and then practicing law, I feel it's so important to increase a child's vocabulary and introduce them to words that they may not hear before. So if they have trouble reading a few of the words, they can ask, or parents can read it for them if they're, let's say, 3 or 4 years old.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not really hard words, but they're just bigger words.
Well, I was also picturing, wondering what ages they might start reading it themselves or reading it to their younger siblings or things like that, too, you know, because it seems like this book for sure is a fun book, and it'd be a fun one for them to read to themselves and maybe to their friends and to their younger brother or sister. So what age do you think they would be when they would be able to read it to someone?
I would say 7 to 8 years old would be a really good age to read these books to themselves and to maybe like their class. I've had several people send videos to me of their child reading to their class when they have to pick their storybook for the week, and I've seen a lot of 7, 8, 9-year-olds reading it out loud, and I it's just so amazing to see that. And I feel like once they read one of the Alley Cat books, they kind of, they know how Alley Cat talks, they're familiar with her, they relate to her, and so reading another book after that is not so hard. It's not like a brand new concept for them. So I've been seeing some of these second, third, and sometimes fourth graders waiting for the next book because they know kind of where Alley Cat will go in her communication. So it makes it easier for them to read the story if there are bigger words, because I'll kind of use the same ones and reiterate those words.
That's fascinating. You know, my Aunt Bobby, my mom's sister, was a teacher for, I think it was first or second grade. I can't remember exactly originally what it was, somewhere in that range, though. And she ended up becoming a reading specialist, helping the Fremont School District with reading, and then came up with her own phonics program called Phonics Magic, just toward the end of when she was working there. But, you know, reading is so important, and any way that you can get kids to love to read and to enjoy reading, and like you said, to increase their vocabulary, but in a fun way, is, I think, really, really awesome. So,
well, we talked about in the beginning of this conversation, you mentioned the new segment that I do, and it is a weekly segment on our local news station where I'll highlight a book in children's literature. It's not my own books, but it's other authors, and we do a coordinating craft that children and parents can do after reading the story. And I try to pick books that children will relate to, and I'm often asked by parents, how do I get my children to read? They're just not wanting to read. They say they hate reading. And of course it breaks my heart to hear that, but the reality is that children, they will like reading if they're reading what they like.
Exactly.
And
yeah,
so many times they're forced to read things that are either way above their level, way under their level, or something the teacher or somebody picked, the program picked out. And if you just bring a child that says, I don't like to read, if you bring them into your local bookstore and just say, pick any book you want. And I've done this with some of my friends' children. They say, okay, they don't want to read, they don't like reading, so we go in the bookstore, and maybe they pick up a magazine, it's about cars, and they're flipping through it. Well, there's articles that they're maybe reading a few words, and it's a great introduction. So to be able to read what you like, and I understand there are programs in schools that are outlined for them to learn and grow and to expand on their knowledge, which is wonderful, but I strongly believe that for their free time, they should be able to read whatever they want.
I agree. And that what you were saying reminded me of this teacher that I met years ago down at my sister-in-law's house. I don't remember who she was. I didn't only met her that one time, but she also taught reading, and she said the same thing. She was teaching a bit older kids, but she said to let them read whatever they were interested in. And that's the thing. I mean, you know, I as much as I've always loved to read, I always have loved to read. I grew up in the country, and we had the book certificate you could get every year if you read. I can't remember how many books it was at this point, you know, but I'd always get one every year. And I just loved books. But I was able to pick out books that I liked from the school library to read. It wasn't like these were required ones. And then I remember being in college and having to read some books and stories and things that I didn't really feel were interesting. And it can be so boring if you're not reading something that interests you. So I can totally get why that would help inspire people to read, is or kids to read is to have things that interest them. So I think that's an incredibly important suggestion that you've made there.
And when I started writing the Alley Cat series, I would bring my children into the bookstores and the library, and I would watch them and observe, and I would say, hey, go pick out a book that catches your eye, or I would watch their trend of what type of books they were leaning towards, and so there was just like something about all of these books, whether it was colorful illustrations or where there was a character at their age, a character that was maybe an animal character rather than a person, they
mm-hmm.
just gravitate towards certain things at certain ages. So as an author, and when I give presentations, I tell other authors, look to see who your audience is and write what they typically like, and not typically, that's not a great word, write what they want to read about. And usually at mm-hmm. ages, for picture books, you know, 3 to 8, they want to read about animals and space and things that are just outside of their normal life.
Mm-hmm. Now, also, you have a life-size Alley Cat mascot. Tell us about that. That sounds fun.
It's a lot of fun. So in the beginning, I was doing author visits, and, of course, my own kid said, Mom, you need a mascot that will go to your author visits and hug all of the kids. And so I always take their advice. And mm-hmm. so I said, okay, how am I going to create this? So, you know, I had such a limited budget when we started out, and all I could find was a company to make this headpiece out of foam, and then I just had different people from the schools that we would visit dress up with this headpiece that looked like Alley Cat, and then I had a dress made by my neighbor, and it was like a little mascot. So over the years, the series has grown, and I did a fundraiser for a new mascot costume. I wanted one of those big ones that were like so furry and fuzzy, like you see it like basketball and football games.
Aww.
And I did a fundraiser where the community could donate towards the fundraiser, but it wasn't really a donation. They would get a book in exchange, and
mm-hmm.
it was the same price. So it was just almost like advance sales, and they were very supportive because I've visited so many schools in our area, and we were able to raise money to get this professional Alley Cat costume, and it is so much fun. She now gets booked more than me most of the time. She's ridden in the Sonic Christmas Parade here in Lafayette. We are doing the UL, which is our college here in Lafayette, the halftime show for the women's basketball game. And she'll dance with the cheerleaders to the Alley Cat Shuffle, which is a song that I wrote and my husband helped compose. And it's kind of like a little line dance, because over here in the South, we do lots of line dances. And so she's really just out there to put a smile on everyone's face, not just children, and give hugs, like my kids
that
say.
That is so cool. Now, that brings us into, okay, first of all, the titles of your 4 books, I'd like to talk about those. The first one was called Alley Cat and the Thursday Dessert Day, right? And Alley
yeah.
Cat and the Monday Blues is the second one. And the one you sent me
yeah.
is Alley Cat and the Friendship Friday. And then the newest one coming out is Alley Cat and the Tournament Tuesday. I just love all those titles. But the Monday Blues being more about music is so cool. And then the fact that you have songs that you've written. So you've written lyrics for the songs, and I guess your husband writes the music. Is that the way you do it?
Yes. So for the Monday Blues song, I wrote the song, and a music company here in Lafayette, the Music Box, helped compose the music, and then I ended up applying for it to get on iTunes, and And so now it's on iTunes. And then for the Friendship Friday book, I wrote the song and my husband composed the music. And it's also on iTunes. And we just having such a good time just creating music.
Are the links,
music is such a big part.
Oh, yeah. Our music is so much fun. Are links for those on your website?
Yes. So actually the links are to the Alley Cat YouTube page, which includes an animated video with the music.
And your website is alleycatseries.com, alleycatseries.com. So people can find more about that and about all of the things that you do there as well. But, oh my gosh, that is so fun. I remember this. I've written lyrics for a few songs that my husband's written the music for, and our friend Robert Berry's recorded. He's amazing at producing and doing the other instruments. My husband does the guitar, and I sing, and he sings, and sometimes, most of the time we sing together, actually, because I'm still not quite there yet where I feel like comfortable with singing by myself. But it's so much fun. And I remember that Louise Hay had always said that it would be really cool to have some affirmations that you could sing, you know, to sing your affirmations. And so our song Imagine is actually basically like singing affirmations about imagining your life the way you want it to be. And the song Believe is about believing in yourself and believing in your dreams and believing you get to choose what songs you sing. And the songs, by songs I mean whatever your heart desires, you know. So the thing is we all need reminders to imagine what we do want and also to believe that we can do things, because if we believe it, then we'll focus, we'll practice, we'll have fun doing it. And I'm expecting next time you're on my show to hear that you've been starting to sing too.
I don't think I could ever sing out loud in front of people. So when I was growing up, that was just one of those things where in my imagination, I was always like a rock star singing on stage, like Barbie and the Rockers.
Mm-hmm.
But my singing voice is really terrible. And my husband can sing so well. And my daughter and my son starting to sing more. So they have, they have amazing sounds that come out, and I guess compared to them, it's just
you know, I totally believe
happening.
I've been watching this happening with being part of West Coast Songwriters, and a lot of it has to do with believing you can do it and practice and wanting to. I mean, you have to want to. That's the main thing. And the same thing that you said about reading books that are fun for you and you're interested in. Sing along with songs that you really enjoy, not just ones that somebody tells you you, quote, should sing or something like that. But, yeah, I mean, if you ever decide you want to, or anyone listening does, take a few singing lessons and realize that you have to learn how to breathe, you have to practice, and it can be a lot of fun once you start doing it. So, you know,
that should be my 2020 goal. Just to take
do it for the fun
for
of it. I mean, do it for the joy of it. Yeah. And then you can sing with your husband and your daughter and your son, you know. I mean, that'll be really fun. I love singing with my husband and son. And I used to just sit there and be jealous that they were doing it back in the, like, 2007 when they first started recording songs together. And they would play live, and I'd be so jealous that they were up there singing. I was proud of them and happy for them, but I wanted to be up there, you know, and so now I'm able to do that, and it's a fun family thing that we do.
Well,
oh my
gosh,
we only have five minutes left. Can you believe it? I can't believe how fast the time goes. Okay, so the other thing is we already kind of talked about how you went from being a lawyer to a children's book writer, but how far do you want the series to go?
Oh, the sky's the limit. Of course, I want Alley Cat to be in every home all over the world. I want kids to know Alley Cat and to love her and feel like she's a family member like we do. And I would love to have an animated series after Alley Cat I think that would be wonderful. It's really one of those dreams, you know, but I feel like if I keep working hard and just keep inching forward, then maybe one day that dream could come true. I can picture it,
to tell you the truth. And, you know, our son is an assistant film editor on his way into segueing into film editor for a Netflix TV show, animated TV show. And he's working with people that used to work on The Simpsons and Futurama and all those sorts of things, because he always loved that. I can picture Netflix doing an Alley Cat series. That would be really cool.
That would be a dream come true. It would.
Well,
know, I say a girl can dream.
Hey,
but
why
we'll
not?
We'll just keep trying. All we can
do
is we just keep trying and keep working hard and trying to do good. This series and this book journey that I'm on is all about just trying to put a smile on faces, doing good, and just accepting all the things that come with every open door.
Yeah. Well, like I said, we have only about a little over 3 minutes left. So what's something you'd like to leave our readers with, I mean listeners with? I'm thinking of readers because of your books, but yeah, our listeners with.
Well, I always say at my workshops and presentations that, and it's kind of what you were saying to me about the singing, is that you can do anything that you put your mind to. And although it's tough and challenging, you can do it with just a little bit or a lot of hard work and determination and persevering through some of the rejection, because the rejection will be there. You just have to keep looking up. And so I try to let people know there's a lot of people out there who want to write a book, and whether it's a novel or a children's picture book or self-help or a cookbook, I say do it and go for it, because you never know where your journey is going to lead you once you just start opening your eyes, your mind, your heart to what makes you happy and what makes others happy.
That's a biggie, what you just said. Makes you happy and makes others happy. I've been thinking about that a lot, about how I love being with people who are doing things that are making life better for themselves and for others. You know, I mean, because it's not just about doing things for others. It's about enjoying our life, too. And so, but not just about doing things that are good for you with not being good for others. So I think that anything that you can do out there where you can make life better for you and others, it helps make the world a happier place. And, boy, we need that.
we really do.
Need it. Yeah.
We need positive things and kindness.
Kindness, for sure. I've been thinking about, for the last over a year now, about how important it is to be loving, kind, and creative. And we all can be those things. You know how they say, in a world where you can be anything, be kind. Well, how about being loving, kind, and creative? Because we are all three, and we cannot choose to be all three.
Right.
Yeah. So.
And we can do all three of those things.
She said, what did you say? I'm sorry, I missed what you said.
I said, and we can do all three of those things. We don't have to just do one. We can be kind. We can be creative. We can do all of those things.
Yeah, and be loving. Oh, thank you, Allison, for writing your books and for being on my show and for living your music in the ways that you are and inspiring all those kids to live their music, too, by doing it. And by live your music, I mean your heart's desire. So it's whatever you feel called to do. It's like Wayne Dyer said, don't die with your music still in you. Live your music is what I came up with from when he said that. So thank you for living your music. And please, everybody, share this with your friends and your family and get these books. They are awesome. I love them.
Thank you so much for having me on the show. I love it. It's so amazing what you're doing.
Oh, thank you. Well, everyone out there, whatever you feel called to do, please live your music. Live your best life, and do it now. Bye for now, Allison. Bye for now, everyone.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.